The headlines: official figures show Eurozone inflation hit a new record in July as growth in Europe's largest economy, Germany, stagnated in the second quarter of this year. Russia expresses solidarity with China over its stance on Taiwan after Beijing warned Washington not to, quote, play with fire over the island. A teenage Palestinian boy is killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank. Hello and welcome, everybody. Our top story for this half hour, the news on Eurozone economy has been bad for months. Now official data show inflation across the Eurozone has reached another record high. The EU statistics agency, Eurostat, says that Eurozone inflation has climbed to 8.9% in July. That's while the fight against rising prices has raised fears of a recession. Meanwhile, Europe's largest economy, Germany, has experienced a period of stagnation this year. Official statistics say the German economy showed 0% growth in the second quarter of 2022. The global supply chain problems and the fallout of the Ukraine war are among the main contributors to the economic hardships across the Eurozone. Meanwhile, the entire EU has run into difficulties with its energy demands amid the face-off with Russia. That has resulted in a hike in gas prices. Jerome Hughes joins us now from Brussels. Jerome, what more can you tell us about this data and why do the inflation numbers keep getting higher and higher in Europe and specifically in the Eurozone?
Well, of course, inflation is growing. And by the way, you're talking about the 19-nation Eurozone. In January, it'll be 20 countries when Croatia joins Bardia. But the point is that it's just below 9% now on average. But if you look at individual countries, even within the Eurozone, not talking about the other countries in the EU, well, actually, it's higher than 9%. And actually, if you speak to economists, they say that actually the real number, it's very difficult to measure inflation in real terms. So actually, the real inflation figure could be much higher. But actually, if you go on the internet, not without mentioning individual companies, but if you go on the internet, you will see that the energy companies in the West, in the United States, and also in the EU, their profits have increased not by millions, but billions since February the 24th, since the escalation in Ukraine. So billions of euro more profits for energy companies. Also look at the arms industry. Look at what's being sent to Ukraine from the United States, from the UK, and from the EU. Billions of euro worth of weapons. And all the while, these companies and their shareholders are making huge profits. And those speculating on the markets, by the way, the markets are fluctuating up and down, and the currencies are fluctuating up and down. And those people who are speculating on the currencies and on the markets, they're making huge profits because they can see when the ECB is going to do something, or they can see when the Federal Reserve is going to do something. And all the while, it's the ordinary people who are paying through the roof on their mortgages now because interest rates are going up, paying through the roof because of energy prices going through the roof, food prices, etc. So it's a very dire situation as we speak.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jerome Hughes, joining us from Brussels. Moving on, Belarus has recalled its ambassador to Britain in response to what it describes as hostile and unfriendly steps taken by London. The Belarusian Foreign Ministry said in a statement the UK's policy systematically caused damage to Belarusian citizens and legal entities. The statement was referring to sanctions on Belarusian companies, national airline, and restrictions on its state media. Belarus's foreign ministry said it's not severing ties with London, but downgrading its diplomatic mission to temporary chargé d'affaires. The ministry said it would consider restoration of dialogue with Britain once, quote, responsible politicians appear in the British government. Ties between Minsk and London have been tense for months now. Well, Moscow and Kiev blame each other for a deadly strike on a jail that housed Ukrainian prisoners of war in a town controlled by pro-Russians in Donetsk. Russia accuses Ukraine of hitting the facility with U.S.-made rockets.
A missile strike from a U.S.-made multiple launch rocket system HIMARS was carried out on a pre-trial detention center in the area of Alenivka, where Ukrainian military prisoners of war, including fighters from the Azov regiment, are being held.
The Russian Defense Ministry called the attack a, quote, egregious provocation designed to prevent Ukrainian soldiers from surrendering. The ministry said 40 prisoners were killed and dozens of others injured in the attack. Ukraine denied carrying out the strike and put the blame on Russia. It said Russian forces conducted the raid to accuse Kiev of committing war crimes. News review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. On this segment of the program, Russia throws its weight behind China and the Taiwan issue, urging the United States to stick to the one China policy and not to aggravate the circumstances.
We have no problems with upholding the principle of China's sovereignty, and we proceed from the fact that no irritants, no provocations that can aggravate this situation will be undertaken. Our position regarding the One China policy remains unchanged. The United States periodically confirms the same position in words, but in practice, as you know, their deeds do not always correspond to their words.
The Kremlin has also expressed solidarity with China over Taiwan. Spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters Moscow respects China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. He warned against any provocative steps regarding the issue. This after the Chinese president warned his American counterpart in a phone call against a potential visit to the island by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Those who play with fire will eventually get burned. I hope the U.S. side can fully understand that. The United States should abide by the One China principle with regard to Taiwan and ensure that its actions are consistent with its words.
Well, this is the latest in a series of warnings since reports emerged that Pelosi could pay a visit to Taipei in August. Last week, the Financial Times reported China had alarmed the U.S. Privately that the move could possibly provoke a military response. Beijing said such a visit would send a wrong signal to separatist forces in Taiwan. It has warned that the U.S. should be held responsible for any serious consequences of Pelosi's planned trip. Beijing is opposed to Washington's growing military and diplomatic ties with Taipei, which China considers as part of its territory. Taiwan says it will continue to develop its close security partnership with Washington. Well, joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have researcher at the Institute for Russian and Eurasian Studies, Mr. Greg Simons, who's joining us from Uppsala, Sweden. And also we have political analyst Bijan Tavassori, who's joining us from Hamburg. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Greg Simons, and let's jump right in. I want to get your thoughts and your perspective as Russia's thrown its weight behind China on the Taiwan issue.
Well, it's pretty clear. I mean, they're taking a very similar strategy and using it against China versus Taiwan as they did between Russia and Ukraine before the war broke out. That this is meant to increase tensions and, I mean, this controlled chaos, which the US hopes to reassert itself as the leading global power, which at the moment is in disarray.
All right, Bijan Tavassori, I want to get your perspective as well. How much can this change, probably change the United States' stance with regards to Taiwan now that Russia is throwing its weight behind China when we're talking about this equation?
Yeah, I think it serves to underline the strength of the alliance between China and the Russian Federation in regards to territorial sovereignty between the two nations and in regards and in the face of the threat from the United States and NATO. So this really is not a surprise to the United States. They know that Russia would back China in this specific instance because it really goes to the heart of the Chinese nation's interest, really the most fundamental issue to any nation, which is the territory. And so if House Speaker Pelosi really insists on going to Taiwan, then she will most likely be met with military resistance of the People's Liberation Army and their navy, which have now become the biggest and largest navy in the entire world. So this could come down to a real showdown between the two superpowers on the seas, and it could really lead to something that military confrontation that could potentially spark World War III. So I think the onus is on the American side to step back from this confrontation.
Back to Greg Simons, as we mentioned, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi could potentially visit Taiwan in August. Beijing has warned the U.S. Would be held responsible for any serious consequences of Nancy Pelosi's planned trip. Would you draw any comparisons to what took place with regards to Ukraine and the stance that the United States has now with Taiwan as opposed to China?
Well, what it's doing, it's very similar to what the United States was using between Russia and Ukraine, which was to constrain and contain Russia. And they're using attempting a very similar strategy with China over Taiwan. However, this, of course, what we've seen, the response from Russia to the Ukrainian situation has actually undermined the US strategy. And they're repeating the same strategy again with China and Taiwan. The US, should we say, intellectually, is not what it used to be. It's fighting a very short term and ultimately engaging in a losing strategy.
Bijan Tavasuri, would you draw that same comparison as well? We have Russia and Ukraine on one side, and then maybe connect the dots and see Taiwan and China on the other hand when we're looking at the actions and the rhetoric of the United States.
Yeah, I think you can easily draw one very obvious parallel, and the striking thing is that Ukraine didn't come out of nothing. For the last 8 years, the Russian government on all levels has warned the United States to desist from what they did following the regime change in Kiev in 2014. And the United States has just added provocation upon provocation. In the end, it turned out to a military conflict that we are now witnessing. And in the case of Taiwan, I think the issue is even more serious to the Chinese government, to the Chinese people as a whole. And so they are not going to step down, and they have warned the United States privately on all levels. Most recently yesterday with the over 2-hour-long phone call between the presidents, President Xi Jinping and President Biden, where, well, it's not a public phone call, but I'm sure that President Xi has reiterated the Chinese government's position and the really seriousness with which they claim the Taiwan as part of their nation. And so President Biden knows what's at stake here. And after all, it's his choice to make, because the Speaker of the House will be accompanied by the United States military if she goes there. And so if he decides to let the United States military basically do what is an intervention on the territory of the Chinese nation, then the People's Liberation Army has to respond, and it has already said that it will respond. And so then it will be on the United States side to see whether they can suffer defeat and or if they have to, well, claw World War III back from the brink of defeat.
All right, thanks a lot, gentlemen. Political analyst Bijan Tavasuri joining us from Hamburg, and also researcher at Institute for Russian and Eurasian Studies, Greg Simons, joining us from Uppsala, Sweden. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review, but do stay tuned. There's plenty more to come. Palestinians are having no respite from Israeli atrocities as the regime's forces kill another teenager in the occupied West Bank. The Palestinian Health Ministry says a 16-year-old died of critical wounds sustained by live bullets in the chest. Another Palestinian was also shot and wounded by Israeli forces. The Palestinians were holding a demonstration near Ramallah against Israeli settlements when they came under attack by the regime's forces and settlers. Israel has recently ramped up its violence against Palestinians, killing over 50 since late March. Nearly 700,000 Israeli settlers live in settlements in East Al-Quds and the West Bank. The settlements are built on land captured following the 1967 war and are illegal under international law. Well, this just in, at least 22 Palestinians have been injured in Nablus after Israeli troops opened fire on protesters using live bullets. We've talked to our correspondent in the West Bank, Mona Kandil, for more information about the killing of Palestinian teen by Israeli forces.
A 16-year-old Palestinian teenager, Amjad Abu Aliya, from the village of Al Mghayr near Ramallah, was shot dead by Israeli forces, by the fire of Israeli forces and Israeli settlers. This is according to eyewitnesses there. There was an invitation or a call for Palestinians to take part in an anti-Israeli settlement protest, because Israeli settlers there, protected and backed by Israeli forces, continue to storm the Al Mghayr village on a daily basis, attack Palestinians, throw stones at them, hit them in order to force them leave their lands, because the settlers want to confiscate more lands in the village of Al Mghayr. So Palestinians were protesting there following the Friday prayers, and Israeli settlers raided again the village of Al Mghayr, backed and supported by fully armed Israeli forces. And we have to mention that the Israeli settlers themselves are also armed like the Israeli soldiers. They opened fire at Palestinian protesters there, wounding dozens of them.
Iran's foreign ministry has warned about the threat posed by Israel's advanced military nuclear program and the failure of relevant international bodies to take necessary action. The ministry spokesman says the apartheid regime's relentless refusal to place its nuclear facilities under comprehensive safeguards poses a serious threat to international security. Nasser Kanani called on the UN the nuclear agency to fulfill its responsibility in this regard as stipulated in its statute. He said accordingly, the International Atomic Energy Agency and its director general must strive toward promoting the peaceful applications of nuclear energy and non-diversion from those objectives. Israel is believed to have a stockpile of up to 400 nuclear warheads, but the regime maintains a policy of ambiguity in this regard. It refuses to either allow inspections of its military nuclear facilities or sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That's a wrap. Bye for now.
This is the Heart of Life pounding IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
قرآني طوق نجاتي. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all those listening to us, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and we are Quran Quest, the program that examines the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved Brother Habib. Brother Habib, salamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
So, Brother Habib, we're going through the chapters of the Quran one by one. We are on chapter An-Naba. Let's listen to verses 38 onwards of this chapter, and then we'll be back for the rest of the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Yawma yaqumur ruhu wal malaikatu saffan la yatakallamuna illa man adhina lahu ar-Rahman wa qala sawaba.
The day that the Spirit and the angels will stand in rows, they will not speak except for one whom the Most Merciful permits, and he will say what is correct. That is the true day. So he who wills may take to his Lord a way of return.
Inna anzarnakum 'adhaban qariban yawma yanzuru al-mar'u ma qaddamat yadahu wa yaqulu.
Indeed, we have warned you of a near punishment on the day when a man will observe what his hands have put forth, and the disbeliever will say, "Oh, I wish that I were dust."
You just listened to verses 38 onwards from chapter An-Naba. So, Brother Habib, if verse 38 says, that day the Spirit and the angels stand in rows, non-speaking, save one whom the Compassionate permits and who speaks aright. This is a very interesting verse. It's about the Day of Judgment. First of all, who is the Spirit? Are we talking about a particular angel here?
Of course, Ar-Ruh is one of these complicated Qur'ani terms, and it's and usually the Sunni tafasir interpretations, usually they state the meaning of Ar-Ruh is Gabriel, Jibra'il. Yet, we have in our sayings that the Spirit or the Ruh is something greater than Gabriel. It's been accompanied with the souls and spirits of the prophets and the A'imma alayhum as-salam to aid them in their path. So that's, I think that this needs more talking about when we reach to the point, when we reach different verses talking about the Spirit. But for now, the Spirit has a big role. It's something greater than Jibra'il.
And here's the point. Everyone is silent here, and there's only one person talking. What is he saying, and who is this one person?
At the end of the day, it's not only one person, except whom Allah, the All-Beneficent, permits.
Save one whom the Compassionate permits.
The better translation is this one, except whom the All-Beneficent permits.
Uh-huh.
So I think that it's not only one person. It's going to be a group. There might be a group of people. There might be a couple of angels talking. There might be this. At the end of the day, there has to be order on that day. There has to be speaking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no body. He does not take a place, unlike how some Asha'ara believe. Or like how some Mujassama believe. Wal'ayadhu billah. And at the end of the day, there are going to be creations, ambassadors on that day who are in charge. And in our sayings, we have that Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad are those who are going to be in charge, and they are the Shahid and Mashhud, and they are there is also the angels, of course, on that day that are also going to be,
they are the witnesses.
Witnesses, dragging people, taking people. At the end of the day, we have to drag people to hell on that day. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's take an early break because we have a longer discussion to make after the break on the next verse. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter An-Naba. Verse 39 says, that is the true day. It's talking about the day of judgment. That is the true day. So let whosoever will take a path of return unto his Lord. Is there any destination except one's Lord?
You know, that's really just, it shows you, you can't run away from Allah. You cannot run away from the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're under his leader, you're under his control, you're under his power, you're under his flag, let's say. There's no running away. Whatever you have done is going to come back to haunt you. Whatever good you have done is going to come back to aid you. And that's really just, you know, at the end of the day, there is no other place to run. And that day, the day of truth is going to happen. It's going to happen whether we like it or not, whether we remain in our sleep or wake up. The day is going to come. It's going to happen. There's no running away from it. So at the end of the day, think about it a little bit. As long as it's going to be, it's going to come, it's going to come. You know, when, for example, you have to take this medicine, you have to take it. If you don't take it, the day is going to come when you're going to die, for example. So therefore, take your medicine. Mm-hmm. We have the saying available about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, volume 2, page 254 in Al-Kafi Sharif. It states that you have, be the doctor for yourself, for your own self. You have been shown the sicknesses that you might be affected with or may experience. You have been shown the medicine and the medications to heal it. So be your own doctor. Fix yourself. Push yourself. Now this also returns to the concept of jihad wa nafs, the bigger jihad, the greater struggle. Because in the Arabic word jihad, and the Arabic terms jihad means struggle. And the reason why war or holy war is called jihad is because there's a struggle. But this is a small struggle. There's a bigger struggle that we go through every day in our lives. And that is the struggle with our desires, with our nafs, with ourselves. And that is something that we have to struggle for. So on the day of judgment, we turn out victorious.
Let's move on to the next verse. It's a very interesting verse. It says, truly we have warned you of a punishment nigh, on a day when a man beholds what his hands have sent forth. And the disbeliever says, oh, would that I were dust.
Here it shows you that we have warned you. It's telling you that we have not warned you. And this really also gives you this factor about al-mustadaf, those who are weak in proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish those who do not have proof or do not have the mental capability or the capability altogether. They might be smart, but they have so many information and it just becomes so dizzy and so hard to understand what the truth is. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is not going to be involved. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to those who know the truth and yet deny it, such as Pharaoh, such as those people who are like Pharaoh, those who know what the truth is, those who are, have acceptance of the truth, yet did not follow it. On the other hand, there's also some people who have the capability to learn and gain knowledge, yet they don't gain knowledge, and that's going to be their punishment for not gaining knowledge. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that on that day, we have warned you that you will be punished. You will look at your actions. You will review yourself during that day. Unfortunately, you didn't review yourself during these days. So then you will wish you were dust. What does that mean? I wish I wasn't born. I wish I wasn't created.
They would wish that they didn't even exist.
Yes.
That's also how severe.
Yeah, there's also an internal, let's say, internal translation to this or interpretation to it.
Shia translation. Ya laytani kuntu turabiyan.
Yeah, we have this, we call Amir.
I actually wanted to talk about that.
Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has been called Abu Turab. Muawiyah wanted to make fun of him and call him Abu Turab. Why? Because he used to be dusty because of his prayers. He always used to be on the floor and everything. He used to be dusty. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they told him that you wanted to bash him and bully him, but at the end of the day, you only praised him. This title was given to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Nowadays, we're wearing it as a badge. We're very proud to be
called Abu Turab. Abu Turab, because he was dusty because of his worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's a praise. The Prophet gave it to him, Abu Turab. And this is very beautiful. We have this, that these are some Muslims who did not follow the allegiance of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and broke the allegiance of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Betrayed their allegiance.
Yeah, so they wish they were dust. They were like Shia. And then Abu Turab, the father of the dust, is the imam. That's very beautifully put out there. But at the end of the day, a person has to learn from these verses, to take caution from these verses. Don't read them like a newspaper. These verses are available to move your mind, to aware your mind and intellect of not falling into sin and doing the right actions. And at the end of the day, what are we born for? Why are we living? Why are you doing it? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To gain paradise.
Alright, thanks. We're going to take a break for the last part of our programs on chapter An-Naba. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. And, well, this is the last part that we're going to be talking about, chapter An-Naba. It's sad that it's the last part we're talking about, chapter An-Naba, but then again, we're going to be going for another chapter. I was just wondering at the corner of my mind, what is Satan going to be thinking on the Day of Judgment when he sees the rewards that human beings receive?
Now, I've always wanted to talk about Satan, and I was waiting for the right time to talk about him. You know, we have this expression that we say, Satan doesn't sleep, or the devil doesn't sleep, because he's so motivated. He's so motivated. He has this goal in life. And what is this goal in life? He knows what is right and what is wrong. He knows that there's going to be a punishment. Yet some weird reason why is that he does not do tawbah. He does not do repentance. He does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance. And that really is something to keep in mind when you do so, when you see some people fall into sins and how they just want to remain in the sickness that they are in. They're sick. And at the end of the day, the goal of the devil is to see the son of Adam fall down like him. That's what makes him relax. That's what brings pleasure to him when he sees the son of Adam corrupt. And that is why he does everything in his power to, you know, corrupt human beings, to make this corruption for human beings to fall into, you know, these sins and to be far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like he wants to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his pride, he wants to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these human beings are worse than me, I am better than them. That's his goal. When he first, you know, did the analogy between him and Adam, that he was created from fire and we were created from dust or from sand or from clay. He wants to say that fire is better than clay. So at the end of the day, the devil has his own, you know, whale, has his own problems. We have our own problems. Let him handle his problems on that day. We'll handle our problems on that day.
Let's take a very short summary of the entire chapter before we move on to the next one.
So in the beginning, we said that there are like four to five vital points in this chapter. The first one is that there's this news out there that people are differentiating about. We stated that some of them state it's the Day of Judgment, some others state it's the Wilaya.
Then we moved on to, you know, the consequences, the happenings of the Day of Judgment. What's going to happen on the Day of Judgment, before the Day of Judgment? What are these occurrences, these natural disasters and occurrences that are going to happen before the Day of Judgment? On the Day of Judgment, what's going to happen and how people are going to enter hell? What is hell like? What is heaven like? We talked about Hur al-Ayn. Then we talked about how who has the right to talk on that day, and the glory to that day is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we finished off by that the fact that some people on that day, most people on that day, would wish they were dust, they were non-existent.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always very nice to listen to you. We learn a lot, and thanks to all our audience for being with us. This is the last program on chapter An-Naba. If you missed it, you can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Remember that the Quran is a book to study and ponder on, and not just recite and nothing else. Until next week, and a lot of studying the Quran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن هذا القرآن
path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you know, last week we took up explanation of Surah Hadid, which is number 57 in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran, and mentions the heavy metallic element called hadid or iron as being sent down by God to endow the earth itself with mighty force and provide humanity with the many benefits of its structural strength, as well as all the great tests of faith that arise from this. The surah presents several divine attributes, then proceeds with the grandeur of the Noble Quran, the state of the believers and hypocrites on the day of resurrection, accounts of the past nations and spending in the way of Allah for establishment of social justice. It criticizes the monasticism and social seclusion and mentions the response received from the public by the previous prophets. We continue from where we left you last week, and here are ayahs 10 and 11.
وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى والله بما تعملون خبير من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له وله أجر كريم.
Why should you not spend in the way of Allah, while to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth? Not equal are those of you who spent and fought before the victory of Muslims in Mecca. They are greater in rank than those who have spent and fought afterwards. Yet Allah has promised the best reward to each, and Allah is well aware of what you do. Who is it that will lend Allah a good loan, that He may multiply it for him, and that there will be Nobel reward for him? If you might recall, last Friday, in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah, we said mere expression of faith in God has no value without practical display of what the Prophet has taught, including helping the poor and the needy, in view of the fact that the wordings of the Noble Quran are among the best and everlasting signs in this regard. The ayahs that we recited to you now point to the fact that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to the Almighty Creator, and out of His infinite mercy, people have been temporarily given worldly properties from which they owe to spend in the way of Allah, to whom is the eventual return of all. The believers are then promised divine rewards, saying that those who had expended in Allah's cause before the peaceful surrender of Mecca and had defended Islam in the battles imposed by the infidel Arabs are not on a par with those who did likewise following the victory of the Muslims. It should be noted that before the victory in Mecca, the Muslims were a poor community, so those who spent in the cause of Allah in such days of distress are superior to those who spent after the removal of poverty, when economic prosperity was achieved. It is a historical fact that the wealth of the Prophet's deceased wife, Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her, that was the inheritance of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, and her children, was spent to feed not only the displaced Muslim immigrants to Mecca, but also to strengthen the defense of Medina in the face of the constant military attacks of the infidel Arabs of Mecca. As for active fighting in the way of Allah, it was the valor of the Prophet's cousin and son-in-law, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, that won all the battles imposed by the infidel Arabs. Ayah 11 encourages believers to provide interest-free loans to their brethren in faith, calling such goodly actions as loans to Allah, in view of the fact that interest-free loans safeguard people's prestige, removes poverty, increases love and affection, prevents usury, strengthens the economic structure of the society, controls greed and miserliness, guarantees distribution of wealth and growth in the culture of cooperation and collective development. From these ayahs, we learn that number one, charity for good causes brings rewards from Allah and assures the collective development of the society. And number two, interest-free loans promotes the spirit of brotherhood, prevents exploitation, and strengthens the economic structure of the society by removing poverty. Now let us listen to ayahs 12 and 13 of the same surah.
يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب.
The day when you will see the faithful men and women with their light moving swiftly before them and on their right, and greeted with the words by the angels, there is good news for you today, with gardens, with streams running in them to remain in them forever. That is the great success. The day the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the faithful, please let up on us, that we may glean something from your light. They will be told, go back and grope for light. Then there will be set up between them a wall with a gate, with mercy on its interior and punishment toward its exterior. These ayahs refer to resurrection and mean to say that on the day of judgment, the light of faith and good deeds, which will be on the right side of all true believers, whether men or women, will guide them to their destination in paradise, where they will be greeted by the angels and ushered into gardens of perpetual bliss, equipped with all sorts of divine bounties. On the day of resurrection, none shall carry the burden of another, and no person can recommend others except those who are given permission by Almighty Allah to recommend whosoever of the believers they find suitable for receiving mercy and forgiveness from Allah. It means that on that day, the pleas of the hypocrites and disbelievers to the true believers to rescue them will be in vain, because they had died in the state of denial of truth and were immersed in sins. A wall or barrier, that is, the record of deeds, will divide the true believers from the hypocrites and the disbelievers, though communication between them will not be cut off, so that the evildoers must realize that the mercy and grace available to those who do good was within their reach as well. But due to their own rejection of monotheism and the teachings of the Prophet, instead of mercy, now the wrath of Allah envelops them. These ayahs teach us that number one, men and women are equal in achieving moral and spiritual virtues. Number 2. The light of faith will guide the faithful toward paradise on Judgment Day. And number 3. Those who did not come out of the darkness of ignorance, polytheism, atheism, and hypocrisy will remain in darkness in the hereafter. In conclusion of this week's episode, here are ayahs 14 and 15 of Surah Hadid.
يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُنْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورُ فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير.
They will call out to them, "Did we not used to be with you?" They will say, "Yes, but you cast yourselves into temptation, and you awaited and were doubtful. And hopes deceived you until the edict of Allah arrived, and the deceiver deceived you concerning Allah. So today, no ransom will be taken from you, nor from the faithless. The fire will be your abode, it is your refuge and an evil destination." These ayahs mean to say that, in response to the pleas of the hypocrites, who would remind the believers of how they had lived with one another during the transient life of the mortal world, they will be told that instead of believing in God and the teachings of the Prophet, you persisted in your disbelief and life of sins, so our paths and destinations are different now. In other words, the hypocrites and the disbelievers ruin their own selves by failing to avail of the proximity with the believers during the earthly life. It also means that if such persons claim their acquaintance as an association with the Prophet, they will be told that since they did not believe him in their hearts, companionship with the Prophet will not save them from the punishment of the eternal fire. In this world, people may overcome their problems and punishment through ransom. But on the Day of Judgment, there is no questions of any ransom or rescue from their evil fate. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number 1. People are rewarded or punished according to their deeds, not acquaintance. Number 2. A life of disbelief and sins entails the punishment of hell in the hereafter. And number 3. There won't be any ransom or rescue on Judgment Day for the disbelievers and hypocrites.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.